Matthew, from Matthew and Luke. We have two different texts, but pretty much the same. Luke and Matthew, when he's page number 1027, when he's 1093. I'm going to read both passages before we listen to the sermon. Before we reading these wonderful passages, let's bring our hearts to God and pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we are here today to listen to your stories from the Bible. We read this passage many, many times. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we're just reading it because of our regular reading schedule. But Lord, we pray that would you please send your Holy Spirit. Would you please help us to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so that we will be able to see this wonderful text and even apply it to our lives. And then we will bring the message of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, our friends. As I'm going to read this passage, Lord, bless my lips and help me preach only Christ. Bless me to speak only the truth of Jesus Christ in this very moment. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 is the first passage that I'm going to read it to you. Verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to them, Again, it is written, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering him. The next passage is from Luke, which is our children and children's worship service will use this particular text. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by the bread alone." And the devil took him up and then showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. And said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me. And I give it to you whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God. We know that Matthew and Mark and Luke tells about the temptation of Jesus Christ. And we just read in Matthew and Luke. Both passages are pretty same and pretty long. Let's talk about the temptation of Jesus Christ, which is very interesting. The temptation of Jesus Christ is, I can say, the one of most difficult texts that we can read from the Bible. And it's one of the most difficult texts which bring us lots of questions and challenges from these passages regarding the power of Satan. Is that really true? He is so powerful? Or the status of Jesus Christ before his public ministry? Then how we ask that, how was it possible that Satan tempted Christ, who is the Son of God? And what about Jesus Christ? We know that, isn't he the Son of God? Yes, he is the Son of God. He is God, actually, who created the entire world, even you and me, and including everything, and the angels, and the fallen angel, even Satan. Jesus Christ, he is the God who created everything. Then how come he was tempted by Satan? That was kind of a question that we may think about it right now. All these complicated or difficult questions should be clarified before we move to the next step. We have to understand what's in the text before we really jump in the text. Now, the thing that we have to talk about first thing is Jesus was tempted by Satan, not because he was under Satan's power and authority. That's wrong. But he was tempted by Satan, here in the text we see that, as a human being. As a human being, he came to the earth to accomplish God's salvation plan, nothing else, God's salvation plan. And by this temptation, Jesus Christ is proving that God's salvation plan will be accomplished. And then the Savior, Jesus Christ, he will not sin, and he could not sin at all. It reminds us that Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb to give his life for his people. So he was tempted as a human being like us. To help you to understand this particular situation, understanding about this temptation in the relation of Adam, that will be helpful. Romans 5:12, just as sin came into the world through one man, we know that. And the death through sin. We already learned that, we know that. What will happen the next is, Romans 5:15 says, if many died through one man's trespass, which is Adam, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, bounded for many. So we see that Jesus Christ died because of our sin. He died as a human being to save us. Jesus came in flesh, born as a true human being, like you and me, to recreate this world, to redeem the world. Jesus Christ had to fulfill God's salvation plan as a human being, what Adam failed at the beginning, we just read. The Belgian confession that we have at the back of the hymnals, Article 18, says, and God fulfilled the promise when he sent the only and eternal Son of God into the world. So, that's why Jesus Christ was tempted. Therefore, he, Jesus Christ, the sinless and pure God, humbled himself, even emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Philippians chapter 2. And he lived as a true human being. He walked in this earth. He ate something. He talked. Even he touched by his disciples and many other people. And even he suffered and he died on the cross for sins of the world. And he was raised from the dead. He conquered the death. And then he redeemed you and me from the curse of Adam's sin. So Jesus Christ restored everything in order to fulfill God's promise. He had to come through this temptation. Yes, the Word of God, the Word came flesh and dwelt among us, as John said. And we have seen his glory and the glory of the Jesus Christ, only Son from the Father, full of grace and the truth. And other things that we should think about is that although Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, Satan in Hebrew and Diablo in Greek, the devil's temptation were not fully powerful. But devil's temptation were restricted by the sovereign God. That we have to see that too. What does it mean by the restricted by God? And two, you know, basic examples maybe from the Bible, like from the Old Testament, the Job, we know Job's story and his faith. And his faith was challenged by Satan. And in Job, God clearly said that he limited Satan's capacity to challenge Job's life and even his faith. And then Satan could not take Job's life. That's kind of just what we see in this story in Luke and John. Even New Testament, other places, and even our text in chapter 4, Jesus was not just going there, but he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The temptation of Jesus Christ was allowed by God, the sovereign God, for fulfilling God's salvation plan. So this is bottom line before we go into our text. God allows the devil to bring temptations to the human being, human Christ, to fulfill his promises of redeeming his people, to bring his divine grace into our sinful life, to forgive our sins. Another time, the Belge Confession, Article 20 says, God sent the Son to assume the nature, in a couple of sentences later, in order to bear in the punishment of sin, and giving to us his Son to die by a most perfect love. So this is where we have to start. Jesus was tempted, but Satan's power was limited by God. So let's talk about the first temptation then. The temptation of Jesus Christ started with the story of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4 and verse 1 in Matthew, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now again here, we see God's divine purpose, and he's a sovereign God. Divine purpose is found in the temptation of Jesus Christ. The temptations, everything, we will say, three temptations of Jesus Christ happened before his public ministry. In verse 1, we read the word tempt, or to tempt. In the Bible, this particular word brings two aspects. The first one is would be a good sense. Positive implication outcome through temptations will be better. But sometimes this word is used negatively with the intention of destroying people's faith in God. We are going to talk about this a second one. Obviously, the devil brought temptations to Christ, to human Christ, to destroy his role and his purpose, his job as the Savior of the world. That's Satan's temptation. So the tempter in verse 3 that begins with a strange question. Actually, these questions are really strange in verse 3. Starting with if. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If. Maybe if you took any debating class, you know what he's talking about. If and then. A question came to our mind from his question is, did Satan know that Jesus was the Son of God? He's asking him, if you are the Son of God, surely Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, most scholars agree that Satan did not deny that his knowledge of Jesus Christ at this moment. But here, Satan's awkward and somehow illogical question troubled Jesus Christ in his heart. Not that because of Satan's doubt, okay, are you really the Son of God? Not about his doubt, but because of Satan's demand to Christ. Satan here in our text was demanding Christ to exercise his privileges and his power as a Son of God. Surely he could do that. And Satan's asking, aren't you hungry? Since you are the Son of God, I know that you're the most powerful one. You should use your opportunity and power to change everything. Use your power to satisfy your need. No doubt that Jesus could make the stones to become loaves of bread to satisfy himself. He is powerful. But we know that actually Jesus used his divine power to provide food for the thousands of people. We're going to get to the text later on. But Satan's intention, as he says, demanding, should not be the cause of Jesus' ministry. At the same time, there was no reason for Jesus Christ to prove that he was the Son of God. He didn't have to. The Son of God and his ministry should not be started by Satan. But what Satan is trying to do is he's starting something. He's demanding Christ. Satan's demanding was evil from the beginning. And we have to remember the purpose of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He did not come to the world to make himself satisfied. We know from Philippians chapter 2, Jesus Christ emptied himself. He literally emptied himself. So there is no reason for him to be satisfied by providing food for him. No reason for him to pursue his own needs and interests. His purpose is to bring God's divine grace. That's only one thing he wanted to do. God's salvation plan to the world. Therefore, Satan's argument was invalid to Christ. Now we know that Jesus Christ answered. Now his answer to Satan's temptation is remarkable and very powerful. And in verse 4, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We know this wonderful passage. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now we should not miss the background of Deuteronomy chapter 8. The story of Deuteronomy chapter 8 is, it says like this, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna. We're talking about the Israelites, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, what Jesus is saying, trying to say in this particular text, is that it was God's intention and his plan to let the Israelites hunger and thirst and put them in many uncomfortable circumstances. Why? To teach them that man does not live by bread alone. We need bread, but we don't live by bread alone. But man, all the human beings, God's people, we live by the word of God. That's what the text says in Deuteronomy 8. To teach them that they should not trust in the things of the world, but only trusting in God's word and every word that comes from God. So therefore, we live by the word of God. The intention of Satan's temptation was not about asking Jesus Christ was the Son of God or not. Satan changed or tweaked the questions to disrupt God's salvation plan in Jesus Christ. He emptied everything. He was ready to sacrifice his life, but Satan demanded him, no, no, no. You have to be satisfied first. This kind of disturbing question actually comes to you and me almost every day. These disturbing questions to weaken our faith every day, such as, are we really the people of God? Maybe sometimes we can ask, okay, did God really take care of me? The Bible clearly declares that God chose you and me in Jesus Christ. before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. And in Jesus Christ, we have redemption, God's salvation through His blood and forgiveness of our sins through His sacrificial life. So everything happened not based on our merits or qualification, but according to the riches of His grace. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Therefore, we know that we are the children of God. That is the reality. But sometimes we think that we really, are we the children of God? We do not live by this world and their definition. We do not live in this world by bread or things of the world. We live by every word that comes from God. And the Bible teaches that according to the riches of His grace, we are His people. And even Jesus said that I am the bread of life. The second temptation, Satan's temptation goes more, maybe complicated in verse 5 in Matthew. Satan brought Jesus Christ to the pinnacle of the temple, and then where was both a fearful drop, it's very scary, and an impressive view of surrounding. And then Satan said, same thing, if you are the Son of God, now this time throw yourself down, and for it is written, He will command, He means God, God will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now we remember that Satan's first temptation was defeated by the Word of God, God's Word from the Scriptures. But another interesting thing is, when Satan tempted Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ defeated him with the Word of God, here in second temptation, Satan quoted from the Scriptures. That's kind of interesting. He quoted from Psalm 91. In verses 6 and 7, we see that Satan used the same format of if and then. He started with if question. If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself. Why? Because the Bible said He will protect you. Now, actually, nothing is wrong with Satan's logic. God will surely send His angels to protect human side of Jesus Christ. But the problem is that Satan was manipulating the Word of God to support his temptation. That's actually striking. Obviously, Jesus knew Satan's intention, and then he answered in verse 7. He said to him, hey, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. From the second temptation, we clearly see that Satan's intention was to destroy the purpose of the Messiah. The Messiah came to the world to fulfill the Word of God. His holy promise is to bring the love and justice and salvation to the world. Satan was trying to destroy it. Hey, this is the Word of God that I know, so try it. Satan tried to mislead the way of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world by falsely quoting the Word of God, which is very scary. Now, what Jesus said to Satan is also quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. He said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested Him at Massah. Now, this is another story that we have to look at. Here, Jesus reminds us the story of Israelites at Massah. Now, where the Israelites were short of water and complained against Moses in chapter 17, Deuteronomy chapter 17, 7 tells what they said to each other. This is very interesting. Is the Lord among us or not? We don't have water. So is the Lord among us or not? Sometimes we ask the same question, is God with me really? Is God with our church? Is God with you? Sometimes we hear that preachers in some churches are preaching, God will bless you, then what? If God doesn't bless us, that means God doesn't love us. Then Moses challenged them and said, Why do you test the Lord? Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 2. Why do you test the Lord? Eventually, we know the story. God commanded Moses to strike the rock with his stick, and the water came out. Now here, Jesus clearly points out the sin of the Israelites. They falsely test God by asking miracles to meet their needs. Hey, we need water. Do something, Lord. Hey, Moses, do something for us. Is really God among us? When they didn't see God's miraculous power, and they said to each other, is the Lord among us or not? They demanded God's sign and power to fulfill their needs. And Moses told them that you tested God. So Jesus rebuked Satan and said that you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Somehow we become more vulnerable when Satan tempts us with God's word. We're saying to God, like the Israelites, I have been faithfully following your ways, Lord, and trusting in your words and your paths and even your laws. Then why? Why all these things are happening to me? Why all these bad things are happening to me in my life? How can I understand? And even sometimes we say, is there a God among my life? Where is God? We can surely pray to God based on the scriptures. However, the danger comes into our faith, our lives, when we begin misusing the Word of God and manipulating the Word of God to fulfill our selfish needs. In James chapter 4, it said, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly and spend it on your passions. Surely Satan will come to you and me again and again with the same strategy, and he will create an environment and among us in which you begin asking and demanding God's miraculous, powerful intervention. But brothers and sisters, don't you remember the Lord's prayer? Your kingdom comes and your will be done. It is not our will, it is not our time, it is not our plan, but God's will be done, and with His perfect time. Therefore, no matter what, we should not put our God to the test. We trust Him, even though we are going through a very difficult moment. The last temptation is in verse 8. Satan took Jesus a very high mountain to show him the kingdom of the world and glory. Now, here Satan went very extreme at this time and said in verse 9, hey, all this I will give you. Really? All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Very disturbing statement. Now, we should be able to see Satan's intention here. He asked Jesus to deny his call of dying, his call of suffering, his call of saving the world here. We know that Satan's temptation was completely nonsense. Probably, it is true, probably the first two temptations are more understandable. Satan tempted Christ. Hey, making these stones bread, you're hungry, right? And the second thing is, you're a son of God, so just throw your body yourself and God will protect you. He quoted it from the scripture. But third one is, it's disturbing. The last one is truly most annoying one for two reasons. First one, Satan asked Jesus to worship him. Which is, we know, totally wrong. He has gone too far here. And in Exodus 20, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. No other gods. Nothing before me. But Satan asked Jesus Christ, worship me. And secondly, the Bible clearly says that the earth was and everything belonging to God. Everything belonging to God. The sovereign God rules the entire universe, which is God's own creation. So this is God's world, Psalm 24. But here Satan is saying that, hey, this is my world. If you worship me, everything is belonging to me. So if you worship me, I will just pass it to you. There was no reason for Jesus Christ to be involved with Satan's crazy idea. This is insane. And that's why Jesus boldly rejected and declared in verse 10 in Matthew. There's nothing in Luke. And Jesus says, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. We know that Jesus rebuked Satan. And even Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. Literally here, go away, Satan. That means that the word Satan is used here for the first time in the book of Matthew, which means the adversary. He rebuked him, go away, Satan. And Jesus declares that divine honors are not yours, not for you, Satan, but God alone. Satan, you are not here to be worshipped by me, but we worship God alone. Now we see that happen to Israelites when they entered the promised land. When you read the Old Testament, it happened to them all the time. The Bible teaches them of the exclusivity of their God, God alone. Nothing else to be worshipped in the promised land. But the Israelites were warned not to forget their God, the true God who delivered them from the hands of enemies. Even God commanded them to fear him alone, not to fear false idols of the world. The Bible says they don't see, they don't smell, they don't taste, they don't hear, but you worship them. That's what the Bible says in the Old Testament. God sent lots of prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, saying that you're worshiping that something is not see, not taste, not smell, not hear, but you worship them. Even Romans chapter 1 and 2 and 5 said, but they all exchanged the truth about God for lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. This is what Satan is trying to do to Christ. And actually, he is doing to us every moment. Probably the last temptation would be the most practical temptation for the Christians. Because if Satan comes into the deepest inside of our hearts and saying, if you worship me, if you listen to me, you will get something. No, that's not true. Worship God alone. Brothers and sisters, will Satan tempt you and me? Yes, Satan will surely tempt us. Now, interesting is that Satan's trick is nothing new, actually. What we read from Matthew and Luke is nothing new. In Genesis chapter 3, we know what's happening in the story. Satan said, did God actually really say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Satan tempted Christ to destroy his purpose, his way to cross, the cross of the death and suffering, the cross of redemption. And then the same Satan is doing the same things to us to destroy our faith every day. Satan will bring many temptations. to weaken our faith in Christ, even to destroy our relationship with God, even with one another. Satan will tempt you and me to deny our call to live as the people of God in this world, to as like the message, to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. Satan will tempt us to turn our hearts away from Jesus Christ, only ourselves, looking at you and looking at your selfish desires. Satan will tempt you and me to love the world and things of the world. So actually, it's happening every time to us. In the 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 tells us about Satan's temptation. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, it is not from the Father, but from the world. Then the question comes to my mind is, what shall we do? Well, simply, we remember what Jesus did to Satan. We do the same thing with what Jesus said. We will do the same thing when we will be tempted by Satan. We remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but we live by every word from the Bible, every word that comes from the mouth of God, which is the Bible, the Word of God. We live by this word. And even you and me, we will not put the Lord our God to the test. That Satan did it. Satan said, hey, this is what the Bible says, so test it out. God will protect you. We should not do that. But the last thing, but the most powerful thing will be is when Satan tempts you, we can declare like Jesus Christ, be gone, go away. I'm a child of God. And we will worship God alone, our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Then we will serve Him alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape and you may be able to endure it. So when you are tempted by Satan or something else, you can say that, be gone, and I will worship God because you have that power. God said when you're tempted beyond your ability, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape. Even Hebrews chapter 2 says, for because He Himself has suffered when tempted, we're talking about Jesus Christ, now He is able to help those who are being tempted. So we are with Jesus Christ. Brothers, sisters, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, is with us. Who is the same yesterday and today and forever will be with us. So let's not lose our focus. Rather, fix our eyes and our hearts on Christ. So let's walk with them and let's trust in Him. And every moment of our temptation, we remember what Jesus did. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Lord, sometimes we have so many things happening in our lives. Sometimes we think that You are not with us anymore. Sometimes we use the Word of God to bring Your blessings to us and to use Your power and authority to satisfy our lives. But Lord, would You please help us? We are not ours, but we are belonging to You. We're not living with things of the world, but we are living with your world by your word from the Bible. So Lord, refresh our hearts and bring the Holy Spirit to our hearts so that we will live in this world as your people. And we pray, O Son, in Jesus' name. Amen.